Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
There's an interesting piece in Chicago Magazine titled How Chicago's Suburbs Shape Pop Culture. And with us to talk about it, the writer of that piece, Ted McClellan. He has appeared in the New York Times and other publications. And is this all about your impressions of suburbia that you got from the movies, Ted?
Yeah, you know, I didn't grow up in a suburb. I grew up in, I guess I described it as an inner city Rust Belt high school in Michigan, integrated high school across the street from an auto plant, which is kind of very different from the high school they went to in the Breakfast Club. So when I was growing up, those were the impressions I got of suburbia. It was from movies like Risky Business and 16 Candles and The Breakfast Club, the whole John Hughes filmography. And of course, these all took place in the Chicago suburbs. And it just struck me as, you know, I think during the first wave of suburbia, I think most people's impressions of suburbs came from the Northeast. There were movies like, I don't know if you remember, Mr. Blandings Builds His Dream House, Cary Grant in Connecticut, and the John Cheever novels. But, you know, in the 80s, when Hollywood rediscovered Chicago, I think Hollywood discovered Chicago's suburbs in a very big way. And obviously, a big reason for that was John Hughes, who, interestingly, was born in my hometown of Lansing, Michigan. But grew up in Grosse Pointe, Michigan, and then in Northbrook. And John Hughes was a proud suburbanite. He told his National Lampoon colleague, T.J. O'Rourke, that he just disputed the idea that the suburbs were a hell that's beyond even the powers of John Cheever to describe. And so I think he wanted to celebrate suburbia.
And when you saw these John Hughes movies, for example, did you then conclude that all of the suburbs are snobbish?
Well, you know, as I said in the article, there always seemed like there was one kid from the wrong side of the Metro tracks, and then there was this sneering, snobbish character who probably lived in a mansion on Sheridan Road. So, you know, where I had come from, the social differences were based on race, and here in these John Hughes and movies and Risky Business, they were based on class. So to me, it was a very different world.
And you're right about Chicago suburbs continuing to define suburbia in popular culture.
Yeah.
And going back to the 90s, as you write, the alternative music scene may have been born in Wicker Park, but the leading lights were suburbanites. Liz Phair of Winnetka, Billy Corgan of Elk Grove Village, and Urge Overkill. They formed at Northwestern University. So,
yeah.
And then, of course, you've got your Mean Girls movie
and
others that came later. And so has the image of suburbia around Chicago changed at all in popular culture?
Well, I certainly don't think Mean Girls did anything to change it. And, you know, I mentioned some books. There's a book I really enjoyed called The Knicks, which was written by a guy named Nathan Hill, who spent some time in the Chicago suburbs. The main character grew up in Streamwood, and he taught at a college that's a lot like Harper College in Palatine. And then Jonathan Franzen has a new book coming out, and he was born in Western Springs. And this book takes place in a fictional suburb called, I think, something like Prospect Hill. So, I mean, I think that Chicago suburbs are not just standing in for all of suburbia. They're standing in for all of America in a lot of movies and fiction. And, you know, in the 80s, which we're talking about, suburbia was really in its prime back then. You know, this was before the return to the cities, you know, before rich people wanted to live in the cities. This was when mall culture was at its peak. And so I think that a lot of the cultural energy in America was in the in the suburbs. And I think High Fidelity was the movie that kind of reflected that return to the city, because the John Cusack, who started, he's from Evanston, and his character Rob was a guy from the suburbs who had moved down to Wicker Park, which was happening in the 90s, as we talked about with these musicians.
Yeah, he opens a record shop on Milwaukee Avenue.
Exactly.
It's interesting when you think back, all the books like The Jungle, Upton Sinclair, and, yeah, and other classics really gave Chicago this reputation, you know, hog butcher to the world, rough and tough. We do get our image of cities from movies and popular culture, don't we?
Yeah, and, you know, as I said, I think, you know, it back, if you go back to the beginning of the 20th century, if you wanted to write, you know, a social realist novel, a novel about what was happening in America today, you wrote about Chicago. You were, you know, The Jungle and The Pit and The Song of the Lark. And now, as you know, these authors, Nathan Hill, Jonathan Frenz, and they're writing about Chicago suburbs as a way to talk about, you know, what's happening, cultural trends in America.
Yeah, it's an interesting piece. Read all about it in Chicago Magazine, How Chicago Suburbs Shape Pop Culture, Ed McClellan. Interesting stuff, and it makes me want to go back and see some of these movies again.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen 16 Candles, which everybody tells me doesn't hold up that well.
Yeah.
But The Breakfast Club, I think, holds up better since I was a teenager.
Yeah, you find out when you want to show some of these movies to your kids, and then you watch with them, and you're thinking, maybe because you're watching their reaction, this is not working today.
yeah. Well, the very worst of these would be Revenge of the Nerds, but that's another story. That's
another story for another time. Always good talking to you. It's Ed McClellan from Chicago Magazine.
You
have
too,
a good
Bob.
Day. Good talking
you
to you.
You too. Bye-bye.